morning. If I have not met you yet, my name is Ryan Smith. I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here at Arrow Heights. We're so glad that you're with us today to open God's Word, to be challenged by it, to be shaped by it. And today we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 25. And we're continuing in our walk together through the book of Mark. And what we began to see last week was a shift from Mark recording certain conflicts between Jesus and those who were opposed to him to teachings from Jesus, specifically in the form of parables, which are short stories used to illustrate or explain a point. And the reason for this shift, Jesus explained in verses 11 and 12, is that parables are revealers of truth. Though they can be somewhat cryptic because they require some effort to understand, the way a person receives a parable is a revealer of their true heart toward God. There are some who outright reject him and won't think twice about it. There are some who will receive him as long as it's easy, but when it gets difficult, they walk away. Others are on board with Jesus until something shinier comes along. But still, some truly do receive him and trust him with faith. The gospel takes deep root in their hearts and overflows by producing fruits of the Spirit in their lives, which shows they are truly followers of God, indwelt by the Spirit. And this was the point of the parable of the soils that we looked at last week. Okay, so next week we're going to look at the parable of the growing seed. Look at verse 26, if you would. And he said, "The kingdom of God, as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Okay, great. Verse 26 seems like a great place to pick up from verse 20. It's a very natural flow. Jesus just talked about in the parable of the soils a farmer who scatters seed. And verse 26 through 29 are about a farmer who scatters seeds. In fact, verses 30 through 32 are also an agricultural metaphor about seeds. So here in this series of parables, we have Jesus using wonderful agricultural metaphors showing how gospel proclamation works and what the disciples can expect as they go and preach and how God receives the glory and builds his church even when it doesn't look like it. Or even when we don't understand what he's doing. There's a real natural flow between Jesus' parables in Mark's gospel from verse 20 to verse 26. But verse 26 doesn't follow verse 20. In true alphanumeric fashion, verse 21 follows verse 20. And verse 21 isn't about a seed at all. It's about a lamp. A glorified candle. So why in this series of wonderfully woven stories about seeds and farming does Mark place a parable about a lamp? Okay, well, it's likely that Mark 4, 1 through 34, this whole section, is not a running monologue from Jesus. These parables were probably not taught in this order. Rather, what Mark is employing is a literary device in which he connects several of Jesus' parables together to convey a single important theme for his readers. And Mark does this all the time. This is really kind of a hallmark of his writing. Just a few weeks ago, you'll remember, we had an account of Jesus' family going to get him as he was about to be crushed by the crowds and murdered by the religious leaders. And then there's this quick shift to the scribes and the blasphemy of the Spirit, and then a jump right back to Jesus' family. What was the point of that shift? Well, the point of all of those accounts was to display unbelief. From well-intentioned concern that Jesus is in over his head to blasphemous accusations that Jesus is the devil himself, both of those positions and everything in between are states of unbelief. And so Mark commonly uses these kind of sandwiched stories or teachings to stretch or to show the depth and breadth of theological truths. Okay, so back in our context of chapter 4, verses 1 through 34, Mark is showing his readers the way the gospel of Jesus Christ's proclamation reveals hidden spiritual truth, but it also produces visible fruit when received by its hearers. It's both passive and active. And the reason that Jesus is using agricultural metaphors here is because they're accurate. As we saw last week, sharing the gospel is not about making a quick sale. The work of the Holy Spirit through the words of the gospel takes time and nurturing and care to penetrate and reveal and bring repentance in the life of the unbeliever. Bringing the dead to life is both a matter of that first sign of life as well as continually walking in the newness of that life. And so while Mark is using Jesus' agricultural seed and farming metaphors to show the reality of how the gospel works over time, he wedges in this parable about a lamp to show that the gospel also should make immediate and thorough impact. Okay, so let's look at it. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" Okay, well, of course not. The question that Jesus asks is somewhat rhetorical, even humorous. It's kind of meant to be silly. Even a child that's listening to Jesus ask this question would kind of giggle at the idea of putting a burning lamp under a basket or under their bed. Lamps at this time were pieces of pottery that looked something like a bowl with some edges pinched together. And because the wick was saturated with oil that was placed in the oil and poked up through the area where the edges were pinched, when the wick was lit, it would stay lit. And lamps would be placed on little carved nooks in walls or placed on little pedestals or stands around the room where the light from its open and unhindered vantage point could bring the most illumination to the room. That was the purpose of the lamp. They were the only thing by which people could see. They were meant to broadcast light and do so abundantly. Okay, but notice this. I think this is interesting. Jesus doesn't just ask if a lamp is positioned under a basket or a bed. He asks if a lamp is brought in for these purposes. See, there's an active movement, an introduction of the lamp into a room or an area where before there was only darkness. Just like the farmer providing active movement and introducing seed to the soil, Jesus is talking about light being introduced to or brought into a room. Okay, so here we see the continuity between the parables. Something is strategically introduced where it had not been before, and it is done so for a purpose. Just as a seed is put in soil to produce fruit, a lamp is brought into a place of darkness to produce light. Okay, this is a significant link. Okay, because remember, Jesus just said the parable of the soils must be understood to understand the rest of the parables. And just as it is unnatural for a seed to produce nothing because of birds who take it away or rocks who won't let it grow or thorns that take all the nutrients and suffocate the plant, it is also unnatural for the light of a lamp to be hidden under a basket where it is completely covered or under a bed where it gives a little light to a single area, but the rest of the room remains dark. Jesus is speaking clearly about natural uses and purposes of basic items. Verse 22. He says, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." So Jesus says, a lamp is brought in so that nothing remains hidden, and to manifest or show or bring into visibility what is actually there. The word that's translated here as manifest is phanerao. It means to make visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. It's a word of revealing. So the light from a lamp has a twofold purpose. One, to protect from what is hidden. And two, to provide understanding of what is there. In the same way, the gospel of Jesus Christ has a twofold purpose. The gospel of Jesus Christ protects us from evil, yet it also calls us to what is good. It keeps us from lies, and it brings us to the truth. And that's why Jesus says it should not be hidden or only shown in part. The gospel, as it is shared, must be wholly shared and completely shared, or it is of little use for the one who has it. The goal is not for us to receive the gospel and then conceal it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just about our personal salvation. As one pastor said, the gospel came to you on its way to someone else. And while salvation in and through Jesus Christ is personal, it is never to be private. A quiet faith is a diminished faith. It's like a sower who never throws the seeds. He may keep it from the birds and the rocks and the thorns, but it's never going to bear fruit. It will not accomplish the purpose for which it was given. It makes as much sense as lighting a lamp and putting it under a basket. No, the good news of God is meant to be shared. We see this in Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Okay, that's Mark 4, 21 through 22 in a nutshell. The gospel must be preached. It must be shared. The seed must be sown. But what if they don't believe? Well, some of them won't believe. What if they don't receive it well? Well, some of them won't receive it well. They might blast you for believing it. As Jesus says, some will receive the gospel with joy and then reject Christ when life gets hard. Others will receive the word and abandon it when they see something more shiny and attractive. But we are assured that some will hear the word of God and will produce fruit for the kingdom. But the fruit is not up to us. What's up to us is the sowing of the seed. So sow the seed. Share the gospel. Don't take the light and hide it under a basket. Similarly, we shouldn't take a lamp and just put it under the bed. We can't just illuminate part of a room and assume the rest is okay. No, a lamp must be put on a stand, so for better or for worse, it displays what is actually there. It reveals what is true. Jesus is saying that we can't just take parts that we think are nice and palatable about God. That he loves us. He has a plan for us to give us hope and future, and leave out the parts of the gospel that we think might cause someone to reject it. That we are broken in our sin nature. that we have a penalty of eternal death hanging over our heads, given from a righteous and holy king because of our rebellion against him. And one day that king is coming back to judge. We don't get to choose which parts of the gospel to share. We don't reveal a partial truth and pat ourselves on the back for sharing the whole truth. As J.I. Packer famously said, a half-truth masquerading as the whole truth becomes a complete untruth. The whole gospel is the whole gospel, or it is not the gospel. In the same way, you may have heard the famous saying attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And you know, I really like the heart of that, that our actions can and should express and represent Christ. But a problem with that statement is that the gospel is necessarily the open display of words, not just works. The gospel is news. It is a story that must be told. The gospel is not just about making us nice people, but people who call dead people to life, just as we who were spiritually dead in our sin have been raised to life with Christ by hearing and receiving the gospel message of Christ. Church, the gospel is not just about fixing part of your life, your relationships, or your finances, or your addiction. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals, illuminates, and protects all of you because God came to restore and recreate and redeem all of you. As we say here, being a Christian is about trusting and following Jesus in all of life, for the rest of life. Therefore, the full gospel must be preached, spoken, told, and explained to illuminate every corner of our hearts, not just the parts that make us comfortable. We are to put the lamp on the pedestal and let all that is hidden come to light, whatever it may be, to let what once was secret now be revealed, to let the hearts of man be exposed, and to let us trust the resulting work of God to the hands of God. But as for us, we are to shine it broadly and display it fully. Verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Okay, so here Jesus moves from the parable of the lamp and the proclamation of the gospel to words about listening ears and the necessity of hearing the gospel. And this is for all of us, just as it was for all of his disciples, from Peter to Judas. Okay, pay attention, Jesus says, to what you hear, because with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Here Jesus borrows a metaphor from the marketplace, and that's measurement on a scale. People would determine how much something was worth by its measure on the scale or the weight that it carried. A measure was a means of attributing weight or importance. As one measured something or placed it on the scale, it revealed its worth to them. Jesus is saying that as we put weight in the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we measure it as having substance, we see just how much substance it has. And the more weight we attribute to the gospel and measure it out on the scale, the more it will overwhelm us with its gravity and substance. And to the measure we pour out, we will find much more will be added. when we see God as great and lean into the measure of his glory, we will see even more just how great he is and how deep his glory, his weight goes. However, when we see God's word and the gospel as unweighty, as unworthy of measuring our time and attention and resources and affections on that scale, we will see God as unweighty. We will believe he is unworthy, that he's too light. And even what we have heard from God or have received from his word will be taken from us like a seed that fell on hard soil and was taken away, coming to nothing. Jesus is saying that the path of the gospel begins to shine the more one walks on it. Yet for those who reject it, it stays dark. It remains a mystery, a target for their contempt and suspicion and mockery. They measure it as light. Therefore, the weight of God's truth will not be displayed for them because it's a fairy tale to them. So they will not see it for what it is, reality that's more real than anything else in this world. Okay, in these words, Jesus is calling to us who may be tempted to discount the Bible or give it only a superficial glance, or to let it be a seed that sits on the soil of our heart but does not penetrate it. Words that we hear but do not actually listen to. To us who wonder why some people read the Bible and get great benefit from it, while others find it drab, boring, irrelevant, a dusty old document for the weak of mind. Jesus says to us all, pay attention to what you hear. Jesus is calling out, wake up. Jesus is saying that the way in which someone listens to the word of God will determine the benefits they actually derive from it. One's posture towards the word will determine its productivity in their life. As the author of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Okay, so church, this is both a warning and an exhortation to us. The author says there are those who listen to the message of the gospel, but the message they hear proves to be of no value to them because they do not receive it with faith. They were not open to it, so it remained closed to them. Don't be like these people, Jesus says. The warning and the exhortation is this: use your ears. And here Jesus again uses this somewhat curious phrase to make the listener think, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, of course, I have ears. But are my ears actually listening? Am I listening to what is being said, or am I only hearing what is being said? Am I asking God for revelation as I read his word, or am I just disappointed when I'm not entertained by it? It's like the husband who says, you know, my wife got mad at me because she said I never listened to her and something else. Jesus says, pay attention. Pay attention to what you hear. Some translations say, consider carefully. Luke, in his account, says, consider how you hear, especially when it comes to the word of God. Ask yourself, What is my receiving posture when it comes to listening to and receiving the Word of God? Is taking in God's Word as preached, as read, as spoken, or sung, is that a matter of duty or of delight? Is it just something I do? Or is it something that's being done in me? Is it work? Or is it worship? Jesus says that we should listen with the expectation of transformation. Now, does that mean every time we open our Bibles, rainbows and butterflies come flying out? The light of heaven just shines down upon us. We start to weep for joy as the angels sing the hallelujah chorus? Of course not. No, this is not just about emotion. This is about spiritual trajectory. It's about growth. You know, you may read the Bible some days and feel dry as a bone. But do we trust that our prayerful obedience and seeking after God will grow us over time? That is the question. We should receive the seed with expectation that it will produce fruit. And when it does, we should praise God for the good soil that He has tilled in our hearts. And when it does not, we should pray to the God who hears us that He would reveal any rocks or thorny bushes that we have in our hearts. Because, church, the reason that we should want to be careful about how we listen, how we pay attention to the words that are given to us, is that some words, some messages, carry great weight. Much rises and falls on how we receive and understand certain messages. There's a difference between the way that we hear the words, "the sky is blue," and how we listen to the words, "the building is on fire." Okay, messages carry weight. And we must be active discerners of how we judge the weight that they carry. Because, friend, God's word is of eternal measure. It is the means by which we learn how to trust Jesus and how to follow Jesus. It is the source both of our knowledge of Jesus and our actions toward or against Him. God's word is the plot and the story into which we were born, apart from which none of this makes any sense. There are no weightier words. Yet to some, they will hear the words of the gospel, and they will consider them unworthy of their listening. That's why our world is so bent towards writing its own story and blazing its own trail, because either we haven't heard or have chosen to ignore the fact that the story is already written. The trail is already blazed, and at the center of the story is its author, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God Himself. Okay, that's why we often try so hard and it feels so uphill to make the world revolve around us, to be the center of the story. It's why we get so frustrated and mad at others who won't fit into our story or succumb to our plot or surrender to our authorship. Because we are trying to swim against the water that has already been poured and is being poured, and one day will finally arrive at its purpose destination. We're trying to rewrite over the story that has already been written. And fighting this truth leaves us physically and emotionally and spiritually exhausted, just empty. Yet when we acknowledge Christ as King and surrender to His word in His way and in His time, it is there that we find our fit. It is there we see and find the meaning of the way and the truth and the life. It's there we move forward producing what is right and true and good in accordance with how we were designed. Rather than fighting and fighting and fighting against the current until we die in our rebellion, producing nothing but toil and strife for ourselves and those around us, Jesus invites us to surrender to his way and to enter into his rest. And there we will find a spring of life filled and overflowing. That's why Jesus says in verse 25, "For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has." Some translations say, "even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him." Pay attention, Jesus says, to how you hear. So question this morning, how about you? When you hear the gospel that apart from the intervening work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are hopeless rebels, dead in our sin, unawakened by the Spirit of truth who gives us actual and eternal life according to his word. That God himself came and died in our place and paid the penalty for our sin and now invites us to trust him and follow him in all of life for the rest of life according to his eternal word. When you hear this good news, do you consider it light? Insignificant? Do you believe it only has limited application for you, if any at all? Do you place greater weight and measure on the things of this world? And are you continually surprised when those things don't satisfy? Or when you hear the gospel, do you give it the measure that it is due? Do you abandon the things of this world, taking even the measure that you have placed in them and putting it all on the scale of Jesus Christ? Trusting that he is the way, all in for the sacred call of Christ Jesus, and in so doing, seeing more and more and more the gravity of the goodness of God. Church, Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. If you are tempted to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and dismiss it, or hide it, or just let it illuminate one small corner of your life. Know that one day, Jesus says, ultimately, all will be revealed. Nothing will be hidden, including the true status of your heart. Yet if you are willing to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to display it for all to see in word and in deed, then you will be, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If anyone has ears to hear, Jesus says, let him hear. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. That you would give us hearts of good soil to listen and to take in your word and to take in the gospel. God, to nurture it, to water it, to produce fruit in accordance with your word and for your glory and for your purposes, God, far beyond whatever we could dream or imagine or be in and of ourselves. God, your word is true, and your way is right. Help us, God, not to be ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of God for salvation. God, show us truth. Illuminate every corner of this church. Illuminate every corner of our hearts. And let us trust you and follow you together for your glory and for our good, God. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.